So we are now at that stage as a congregation where the transition committee or team is about to look at the United Church of Christ profile and is to put that together. And that is the document that searching ministers will look at to see if there's a match between those ministers and us. And so we need to look at that United Church of Christ profile as a spiritual process. This is not just a mere report. As we move through the profile, we grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we align ourselves with God's mission in the world. Now, the profile is called by the National United Church of Christ a quote-unquote discovery document. And this is meant to be updated not just every time that you're in between pastors and in a search process, a transition process. It's meant to be updated every 3 to 5 years. It's different than the older profile they have. This is a new process that they've instituted just in the last several years. A transition team, a visioning group, the governing body, or other team guides the process of completing or updating the discovery document. And so this document has 3 sections. Who are we? Who is our neighbor? Who is God calling us to be? Completing the profile requires discernment and cannot be rushed. The questions prompt conversation, storytelling, prayer, and faithful exploration. And the Spirit moves throughout this process. The guiding group, in our case, the transition team, does not just get together, sit down, and write up a report. Rather, they guide the congregation in shaping a collective vision statement of God, of Christ's leading. Who is God calling us to become? Now, this last section to be answered, that is, this is the last section in the whole process you focus on, but it then becomes the first section of the document that is read by searching ministers. And this is the boldest and most actionable piece to guide faithful leadership into the future. What the United Church of Christ has done with the new profile process is to go beyond a mere report to offer to searching ministers. The discernment process can become embedded into the life of the church to help discern a ministry vision. This ministry vision has the potential of becoming a living document that shapes us as we grow into discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ. As we put our faith into action, the discovery document focuses our attention on living into the way of Jesus, the way of love. So let us walk through the profile as a discovery document. The first pages address the actual position to be posted. Now, beyond the nitty-gritty details, our address, our membership figures, et cetera, it asks, what do we value about living in our area? What is it that we as a congregation value about being in this place and in this time in Norwich? The scope of the work, there are core competencies that shape the ministry's relationship with the church. This discernment about core competencies needs to be broader than just about the pastor. That is, we could sit down and we'd say, okay, these are the competencies we want a pastor to have. But we also need to think about this in terms of what are the strengths that we have as a congregation? What are the competencies that we have? Because we are all the ministers, not just the pastor. If we approach this solely about being about the pastor, the process has the potential of being used as a weapon rather than a spiritual discernment process. See, the gifts we need in a pastor are not just the gifts that this current pastor has. You see, if we look at it that way, then certainly if I was the settled minister in 3 to 5 years, I'd be pretty nervous that a process would come up and they would come up and say, well, the core pastor competencies aren't the ones you have. We need a new pastor. So we need to think of it as a little broader. So who is God calling us to minister? So we look at describing the ministry goals that you envision the new minister co-collaborating with the congregation to achieve. This vision is a co-collaboration. All of us are ministers, not only the pastor. We describe how our vision of the minister that you are seeking will assist the congregation in making an impact beyond the congregation walls. The pastor alone does not make an impact in the community. The call belongs to the entire congregation. I can tell you, this being my 15th congregation, that many congregations just don't get this. It's sort of like, okay, we're going to hire the minister's going to go out there, but we're going to keep staying focused on ourselves. That's not the way it works. It is easy to slip by this essential point and put it all on the pastor. Most especially, what the discovery document is pushing us towards, pulling us to, is this. Do we have an inward mindset or an outward mindset as a congregation? It's really pushing us to discern that and be honest about that and see where is God actually calling us. An inward mindset focuses our attention and the pastor's attention on us. Take care of us. Outward mindset lives into the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. The scripture is pretty clear. We're to have an outward mindset. But I can tell you many congregations are set on an inward mindset with lip service for that outward go and make disciples. Who is God calling us to become? Who is God calling you to become as a congregation? Isn't that something you're just going to sit down and write in a few minutes? You're going to have a process of discerning. Describe how God is calling you to reach out to address the emerging challenges and opportunities of your community and congregation. Who are we now? We describe our life of faith together. We discover and discern our strengths and the positive qualities of the church. We describe what our worship is like, and we're honest about that. We're honest if some people are saying, you know what? Our worship service is just really meaningful to me, like when the choir sings. And at the same time, we might have perverses saying, you know what? I fall asleep in our worship. We need to be discerned and really being really aware of that. And not just paper it over. We describe what our faith formation processes are like in the congregation. How does a child, a youth, an adult form in their faith and develop as disciples of Jesus Christ? What is that process? And how do we want to strengthen that? How are we organized as a congregation for ministry and mission? And these questions point to a strength-based appreciative inquiry process. Who is our neighbor? This is another section. This section looks at community vision and what's called mission insight. How do the relationships and activities of your congregation extend outward in service and advocacy? So we describe the relationships and activities, both as they are now and as we are called to develop them in the next 3 to 5 years. And we describe how we're related to the United Church of Christ at the association, conference, national level. Some churches are just really involved. Some, it's like our only involvement is, if you look outside, it says United Church of Christ. That's our involvement. Tell the story of what we're doing in the community to transform lives. Now, obviously, some congregations struggle with this because they look and they say, well, we don't know. But some are really deeply involved and can point to transformed lives and want to tell that story. And this includes efforts at embracing inclusion. That's the United Church of Christ's open and affirming process. Are we an open and affirming church? Not just we have a placard on our wall that says we're an open and affirming church, but how are we living into that commitment as an open and affirming church? How are we living into a commitment to be an anti-racism church? How are we living into a commitment to be a safe congregation that is ending gender-based violence? This is a nonviolent church. Are we, as a congregation, interested and invested in working towards statements of witness in the near future? That is, not just the open and affirming process, but things like the Just Peace Commitment, or creation justice, or economic justice, accessible for all. Those are just some of the options. We're not going to take them all on, but is there one we're being called to continue to develop, like open and affirming, or a new one that we're to explore? And what are the expectations of community ministry for the pastor? And if we do have an expectation of community ministry for the pastor, we want the minister to get out into the congregation. See, this is where we have to be really honest with ourselves, and therefore with the pastor, of what we're really asking this pastor to do. We don't want to set up a situation where we're saying, yes, we want the pastor to go out and reach out into the community. In order to do that, because we still want them to do all the inward-focused stuff, we do believe that it will take about 100 hours a week of the pastor's time. We have to be realistic and say if there's a real commitment to the pastor outreaching in the community, there are other aspects of what a pastor does that we share together as a congregation to liberate that time. So what are our expectations of community ministry for us as a congregation? Those dovetail together. Mission Insight, briefly, looks at the demographics of us as a community, our neighborhood, and us as a internally, sees if those match. And what do we hear when we talk to community leaders and ask them what the church is known for? Well, first of all, I can tell you, I've gone to other churches and it was like, you mean we're supposed to ask community leaders? I mean, we actually need to engage in that process and listen to what people are saying about this congregation. What do new people say when they're asked what got them involved in the congregation? Do we have new people to ask? Are we willing to engage the community and engage in a listening process that goes out and asks the community what the needs are of the community? That's what a community organizer would do. If a community organizer came into a community and tried to get a community organizing group together, they don't first say, okay, we have this project, let's move on it. They start a listening process, a listening project, where they listen to the community and then they discern, oh, this is the issue that really is galvanizing people. And they organize around that. I served a church where we really wanted to get the young adults of the congregation involved in the church. And we had what here we call a transition team. There it was called the revitalization team. And they were like, we want to get all of the young people together. We want to tell them what the church is doing so we can get them involved. I said, how about we get them all together and we ask them what they need for to be more active in the church. So we put together a picnic. It was the summertime. Well, actually, we started planning it in the spring. We did it in August. And we gathered all of the young adults. There was over 20 young adults and their children. And we had a picnic. And then the kids went off playing with the youth group leading them. And we sat down and we discerned what the young adults felt they needed from the congregation for them to be more deeply involved in the congregation. And out of that, three things emerged, and we implemented all three of those things within 14 days of that meeting. A couple of the two things, I think, within 48 hours. And it led to a group that they called Soul Cafe being formed that really was a revitalization of that congregation over the next several years, the rest of my time there and the next minister who came after me. And so that's something that we could look at. How do we as a congregation intentionally build up the pastoral relationship between the pastor and the congregation? We really are intentional about this. What processes do we have in place to sustain the pastoral relationship? When people have gone in that are, and I know I've gone into congregations as an interim minister where there's been a conflict between the pastor, the previous pastor, and the congregation. And oftentimes when you look at that and you say, why did this happen? Or why is there a conflict? And you think, okay, can we go back and see where the pastor relationship sort of broke down? And oftentimes what you find is the pastor relationship was never built. So how can we as a congregation get really intentional about this and have in place processes that make sure that pastor relationship is always being built and then sustained? These are some of the things that emerge out of the process of doing the profile as a discovery document. Now, if you're on the transition team, you might right now be thinking, what did I get myself into? But we need to understand that this is something that is about the life of the congregation, not just done once in a while whenever you have a transition and you're thinking, okay, we do this about once every quarter century, right? It's something that we do as an ongoing process every 3 to 5 years, and we're learning how to do it this time so that we can continue to get better, because what's happening here is we're discerning a spiritual call of how God is calling us as a congregation to be faithful in this time and in this place. God, in our baptism, called us to ministry. Not just people who were ordained. Each of us who are baptized into ministry. And we are given gifts for ministry. And we discern those gifts, and we discern how God is calling us into the future and live into that. Amen.